Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Lord Jesus Christ, with gratitude for all that you've done for our salvation, we rejoice to be called Christians. Rule in our hearts, send your Holy Spirit to work in there and dwell within us, that we always conduct ourselves in manners worthy of our calling as children of God. Give us a heart that looks out for others more than ourselves. Help us to love others like you love us, and move us to share the gospel with others and rejoice to see and be a part of the work in your kingdom. Bless all of us in our worship this morning. In your saving name, amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus, He gives the power to become the very sons of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. O God, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, grant us humility and childlike faith that we may trust you completely. Move our hearts to love and serve you all our days. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading for today is a responsive reading of selected verses from Psalm 31 that's found printed in your bulletin on page 5. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Glory be to thee, O Lord. In this reading from Mark, we see Jesus once again predicting his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. In our sermon text, you're going to hear about wisdom from the Lord. In the words that Jesus will speak to his disciples, not only is wisdom believing that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again, but he reminds us true wisdom is having a childlike faith, trusting and believing in everything that Jesus tells us. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know this because he was teaching his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. But 3 days after he is killed, he will rise." But they did not understand the statement and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, because on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he will be the last of all, and the servant of all." Then he took a little child, placed him in their midst. Taking the child in his arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but also him who sent me." Here ends our gospel reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed printed on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me. Yes.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom from God and also the one who displayed true humility by coming on the cross to save us, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from James chapter 3. We read verses 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good way of living, show that he does things in wise humility. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and lie contrary to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and every bad practice. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then also peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If someone described you as wise and intelligent, that would be flattering. It would be a great honor. If someone described you as humble, would you take it as just such an honor? Would you be just as flattered by it? Would you take it as a similar or at least an equal compliment to being considered wise and intelligent? The Bible certainly describes it that way. It elevates humility. In fact, our text actually connects these traits, humility, wisdom, and intelligence. James begins this section by not only reminding us that we show godly wisdom by how we live our lives, but that this wisdom shows itself in humility. Verse 13 of our text says, "Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him, by his good way of living, show that he does things in wise humility." By the way, these are characteristics that we should strive for and display, as the text says. We should show these characteristics in our lives. But they're traits that we should definitely show, but not tell others that we have. If we go around telling people, "I'm intelligent, I'm wise," you've just revealed that you aren't either of those things. And if you go about saying to people just how humble you are, you've proven that you are actually not. So, wise humility. Those are the words that are used by our text. But those two don't often go hand in hand. Oftentimes, those who think they are wise are anything but humble. However, James' inspired words remind us that God calls us to live a life that displays both. Let him, by his good way of living, show that he does things in wise humility. That word used there for humility in the Greek means a quality of gentle friendliness, gentleness, meekness, considerateness. It's a word that reminds us that godly behavior is not, at least very often, it is not in your face, but it persuades with the humility of the heart. Think of someone you've known in your life that displays this wise humility in their life. A gentle, friendly wisdom that just makes you feel better every time you're around that person, every time you talk to that person. I praise God that I've been blessed in my life with many family members, friends, teachers, and pastors who have just lived and breathed this gentle, humble wisdom in the way they lived their lives, the way they treated others, and the way they spoke and talked. I hope that you've had a number of these types of people in your life as well. Teachers, pastors, parents, fellow Christians. think of how influential these people were and how impactful they were and are on your life. How do you think you will impact and influence those around you, both believer, your fellow Christians, and unbeliever alike, if your conduct in your life is in gentle, wise humility? Think of how encouraged your fellow believers will be, how much differently the world would look at us as Christians if our words and our actions were filled with gentle, humble wisdom. James goes on to remind us that this type of wisdom is truly wisdom that comes from above. That is, it comes down from heaven, from God Himself. Look at the last verses of our text, verses 17 and 18. They tell us this: "But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then also peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who practice peace." Contrast that with the wisdom that is not from above. A so-called wisdom that comes from our own sinful nature, our own sinful self. It is not characterized by peace or purity or gentleness or a willingness to listen to others and be reasonable. It is not full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And it certainly does not produce a harvest of righteousness. But rather, it is characterized by bitter envy and selfish ambition. And James reminds us in our text, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and every bad practice. Think of how frighteningly true those words are. Think of how many churches, marriages, families, friendships, careers, and even souls have been destroyed or at least irreparably damaged by bitter envy and selfish ambition. An attitude of jealousy that says, I want what you have, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. Or an attitude of selfish ambition, I want to be first, no matter what. This is not a new problem either. This is human nature 101. It goes back to the very beginning, the very fall into sin. It was not new in James's day. We can read letters from Paul speaking against these bad attitudes and bad behaviors and letters to the congregations he wrote letters to, especially the Galatians and the Corinthians. We've seen its effects in our own hearts, in our own lives, and in our own congregations. What is the answer? What is the cure? The answer is what it always is. It revolves around Jesus. It is the wisdom, the wise humility that comes from above, from God. It's not the wisdom of our sinful self. That's definitely not the wisdom that was going to solve this problem. The devil tries to convince us of the lie that somehow because I thought it, because I want it, because I said it, or because I did it, then it must be good. It must be true. When we think of that, we find ourselves having that type of attitude or thought. Just think of how nonsensical that is. How does the fact that it popped into our heads, came out of our mouths, how does that make something automatically good or true? It doesn't even make sense. So we need to turn to a wisdom that is not from self, but rather from above. And remember, the wisdom that comes from above begins and ends with Jesus. Remember that the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus lived out God's wise humility and proved who He was, who He is, the Son of God, our Savior, not just by His words, but also by His actions. He displayed gentle, humble wisdom in everything that he did and said, perfectly keeping God's holy law in our place in every single way. He displayed perfect love by sacrificing himself on that cross for the sins of the entire world, dying the death on the cross that we deserved, dying and guaranteeing us the entrance to heaven itself by rising again, a place where the Bible says we will know even as we are known. Perfect wisdom. So how can we show this wise humility in our walk of faith? How do you display this and show this as an individual within your family? Well, we display it by doing what's truly best for our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, for our parents. It begins with doing what is best for them spiritually, bringing them to hear God's word, encouraging them to hear God's word, sharing that word with them, and displaying Christ's love and wisdom in our lives. It includes putting their needs and interests ahead of our own. That's the humility part. The wise humility puts others' needs ahead of our own. As Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, consider one another better than yourselves. Let each of you look carefully not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Wise humility also displays itself when we apologize when we've done wrong, and then fully and freely forgive others when they have wronged us. That might be the epitome of wise humility. How about when it comes to our walk of faith within our congregation, with our brothers and sisters in Christ? We have a great opportunity to put this godly, wise humility, this wisdom that comes from above, into practice as we are essentially combining our two congregations. It's also a great challenge, since there is no doubt going to be a number of opportunities for us to allow our envy and selfish ambition to guide and direct our thoughts and interactions with each other as we navigate through this time of transition. But remember what James warns against in our text. Remember his words. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. He tells us where that comes from. It comes from the devil. In fact, where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and every bad practice. Envy and selfish ambition produce the fruits of disorder and every bad practice. Those are not the fruits that we want to grow and produce in our lives, in our families, or in our congregations. On the other hand, when we, with the Holy Spirit's help, practice wise humility, it is a blessing, not just to us, but also to others. It is, as our text says, peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It produces a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who practice peace. It will bring glory to God. It will show others the gentle, humble wisdom and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord fill us always with His wise humility. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. We pray for the Lord to watch over him and give him full recovery as well as successful surgery. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. That is the invitation that you, our almighty and merciful God, have extended to us, unworthy though we are. You have invited those in distress, those who are sick, those who are burdened with pain and with cares of any kind, to approach you in prayer, seeking deliverance. And those who come are not turned away. O Lord, we do come to you in this time of need for our brother Chris Holt, and we ask for your deliverance. We pray that you would bless him with successful bypass surgery, and that you would give to Chris a full and complete recovery, if it be your will. Bless his surgeon and the staff with the skill and wisdom necessary before, during, and after the operation. Comfort Chris, as well as his wife Kathy, and his loved ones and family members with your presence and with the knowledge of your love and your guiding hand, by which you have control of all their situations and have promised to work all these things, even sickness and surgery, out for their good. Most importantly, Lord, give Chris and his loved ones the comfort of Jesus' cross, which assures them that you have taken away their sickness of sin and given them the assurance of forgiveness and eternal life in you. According to your invitation and promise, we call upon you, dear Savior. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, you alone are the source of true wisdom. We come to you at your invitation, asking that you would make us wise with your wisdom through your word and your Holy Spirit. Give us the wise humility that your word speaks of, so that we would be putting the needs of others first, humbly confessing our sins when we've wronged you and others, and willingly giving forgiveness to those who have wronged us, even as you, dear Father, have forgiven us in Christ. Fill our hearts and minds so full of your wisdom that it spills over into our lives. Help us to live wisely so that our words and actions benefit others and bring glory to your name. Give us your spirit to understand and apply your words of wisdom that we have heard today. In Jesus' name we pray all these things, and in his name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated. We close our service today with our closing hymn, O Word of God Incarnate. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message that you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. This afternoon I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and then heading to Southern California for my farewell service with the group down there at 6:30. This week, Tuesday, our Board of Education will meet via Zoom at 6 p.m. That's Tuesday evening. And Wednesday, we'll have our Wednesday online Bible study. It will be my final one with you all here. The congregation I'm serving, that I will be serving, does have online worship, online Bible studies on Wednesdays. So after I arrive there and we get those set up, part of it is online. So if you'd like to join us for those, you could pop in our Bible class way over in Wisconsin. Note the time difference. We'll get that sorted out as we get those set up, but you're welcome to pop in. It'd be great to see you at Wednesday Bible classes then. Next Sunday, if you noticed in the bulletin, Pastor Drew Nauman has returned our call to serve as our pastor. Therefore, we are calling for a call meeting next Sunday. There'll be a joint worship service. We'll have Bible class at the usual time of 9 a.m., a joint worship service here at 10, and then our voters meeting with the call meeting will take place after the service. We've laid a lot of the groundwork. The meeting likely won't be as long as the first one we had, but we have the call lists and some discussion to sort through, and then we will, Lord willing, issue another call next Sunday. After that meeting is finished, the East Bay congregation had a council meeting scheduled for next Sunday, so they will just gather in my office for a council meeting after the call meeting next Sunday. So no East Bay worship service, just a service here with a meeting afterwards. Those who are unable to make it in person, there is a Zoom link in the bulletin for joining via Zoom next Sunday for the meetings. And the Zoom link for the Wednesday online Bible class is in the bulletin as well. There's a sign-up sheet in the entryway for meals and snacks for the upcoming pastoral conference, October 1st through the 3rd. There will be a congregational meal here on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. You're invited to join us for that. Then the worship service with communion will be that Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Pastor Dave Nauman doing the guest preaching for us at that service. Please join us for that as well. If you'd like to donate to the recreation outing at on Tuesday with the pastors, we'll be going to Alcatraz on Tuesday. You can mark your offering envelopes, pastoral conference. I've put in the bulletin the upcoming farewell schedule because as I counted out, there are only three Sundays left. Is that correct? 29th, 6th, and 13th. Three Sundays left that I'll be here. So the upcoming farewell schedules in the bulletin. We'll have an East Bay farewell Sunday on Sunday, October 6th. That will be our last Sunday worshiping at our location in Hayward. And there will be light refreshments and a fellowship hour to follow after the service. You're welcome to join the congregation there for that farewell service. There will be some details coming out in the near future for our loading day. We'll be loading up the U-Haul boxes to be shipped forward to Wisconsin. We'll be asking for some help if you're able to on Saturday, October 12th. And then our joint farewell worship service will be Sunday, October 13th here in Mountain View at 10 a.m. and a fellowship meal will follow at 11. Our actual moving date where we'll, Lord willing, pull out of the driveway and start heading east will be October 15th, that's Tuesday. Any other announcements for today? We will not be ushering people out. We're going to go forward, try to just have you leave church at your leisure, so don't expect an usher to come and get you. If you're able, just get up and leave when you like, and I'll greet you at the entry of our church. Also, those who would like to take private communion after the service, please meet with me up here in the front of church, and I will do that for you. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.